This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
KC Masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan. Reginald Atatula here getting the full KNC experience because Mike said something hilarious right before we came on air as we got MLB Network on the televisions here. And because, you know, All-Star game happening tonight, they're getting ready at the red carpet down there at Globe Life Field. And apparently, Mr. and Miss Met dressed to impress with their cowboy hats on and everything.
Yeah, they're very country on the set. I get it. We're in Arlington, which is, you know, interesting because we just talked about the jerseys where they're like, we're doing nothing Texas at all. And then it's super Texas.
Now, Mr. Met is on got a cowboy hat and a vest.
Yeah, he has to be. I can't imagine being a mascot right now outdoors for the next 3 hours because the show is starting right now. And I don't think it ends until 4 p.m. I think it's a 3 hour show. Now, the other thing, too, is Greg Amsinger.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's not leather, but it looks thick. And then you have Harold Reynolds. They're in cowboy boots and a full suit.
And those, like, I think those are snakeskin boots, too.
Dude,
yeah,
they are going to be.
Or they might be gator. I don't know if I saw that right.
They're going to be sweating. In the next 10 to 30 minutes, they are going to be nonstop sweat.
Good for them. Good for them. Like, do what you got to do for the show, as we always do here. In fact, a little bit of traveling to Globe Life Field will be being done for the show this weekend. Friday, G-Bag Nation is broadcasting live from Globe Life Field to get ready for the unofficial start of the second half as the Rangers will host the Baltimore Orioles. And then on Saturday, same thing. 105 Through the Fan keeps going on the weekends. Will and CA will broadcast from 9 to 1. Our very own Alec Medford, along with Blake Elliott and Fred Davis, will also broadcast out there ahead of the second game of the series from 1 to 5:30. So 105 Through the Fan, home of your Texas Rangers, making sure that you're ready for what will be a big series against the Orioles. I'm sure we'll talk about that in the next couple of days as well, coming out from the other side of the All-Star break. But right now, time to do a little AM on the FM.
Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea of what it...
Now, reality can be whatever I want.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
You'll hear that intro on Saturday from Globe Life Field. If you've ever missed out on the chance to come see us out there at the Comerica Backyard out in center field, it's a great time. Always chopping it up with the Tolos. It's always fun. And glad to have regular season baseball coming back here soon. But the All-Star break, I'm sure, much needed for a lot of people. The dog days of summer, the dog days of baseball are here, but we're going to get back into it after tonight. You can hear the All-Star game right here on these very airwaves.
That's true.
If you are not going to be able to attend or in front of a TV, you should totally listen right here on 105.3 The Fan. But
you should listen here anyways.
You should always turn it on.
That's, right.
That's what you always do. And you do that to hear this. It's AM on the FM right here on The Fan. The question of the day is coming your way. Plus, I teased it yesterday. I'm going to pay off on it today. The lawsuit filed by Nike just a couple of days ago. Complex breaking that story. We'll get down to that here in just a second because it's an interesting one. It's a business that I keep an eye on at minimum. I don't really invest in it, but I like to keep tabs on it. So we'll get into that here in just a second. But the question of the day, 877-881-1053 is the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorneys text line. And you can get involved on the Twitch and YouTube as well. But it's going to be inspired by our national anthem incident yesterday. What is the one embarrassing story or memory that just haunts you to this day?
Oh, boy.
Because I can instantly think of mine. And this is how you know it still haunts me, because it's from third grade. So quite a while ago. It was the spelling bee at D.P. Morris Elementary School out there in Mansfield, Texas. And I made... through the audition period or whatever, I made the team, and I go up there for my first word. And this is back, a lot of people don't believe it, but I was really, really shy growing up. I would not speak at all in front of people that I didn't know. And it got to me because I go up for my first word. My first word is learn. L-E-A-R-N.
Oh, okay. So I think you got it then.
I got it now, but I didn't get it then.
Oh,
because
no.
I completely froze up and I thought I said the letter R and I did not. and I got that bell, that dreaded bell of death.
Oh, you spelled lean?
Yep, I spelled lean instead because I just kind of froze up and thought I dropped the letter R, but I did not. And I embarrassed myself and all the family that came out thinking I was going to win that thing. So I was a smart kid. I really was. I had a high school reading level in third grade. So, you know, everybody thought I was going to win
that
thing.
Talk that talk.
Yeah. Everybody had high expectations. I let everybody down. So I'm sorry to everybody to this day that I let you down in third grade. And it still haunts me. Anytime I see the letter learn, or the word learn, rather. I see
the nervousness coming up. Yeah.
Anytime I have to spell it out in a script or something, or an email or whatever, a text, what have you, I'm like, I hate that word. I really do hate that word. So what's your embarrassing memory or story that haunts you to this day?
Oh, no.
Well, I remember... I think it was before third grade. I think I was in second grade. I peed in the batter's box. Like, I just had to go. And I was like, I was in the field and I knew that I was like coming up to bat the next inning. Uh-huh. So I didn't have time.
Like unintentionally.
Like in the dugout.
I thought you were just like.
No, I didn't pull. I just after like one pitch, I couldn't hold it anymore.
Like that little kid that's on the back
of
everybody's
truck
window.
Stepped out of the batter's box and just started peeing down my leg and hoping nobody would notice.
All right, rough. Text line from the 817. Good question. Who is singing the national anthem tonight? Don't do that.
Yeah, you'll have to tune in and find out.
All right.
It's a surprise. From the 214, busting my ass at Disney World when I was 7. See, any of those, like, just unplanned things, a mishap where you slip or something. I mentioned that I sliced my hand open at the ice skating rink the only time I've ever been in my life. Yeah, that was embarrassing. Just had blood running down my hand, and I was like, everybody was kind of looking at me, like, checking on me, strangers, you know, rushing over to me. I'm like, I'm fine. I just need a Band-Aid. But, you know, you get all flustered. You start blushing a little bit because you're embarrassed, especially because I'm a very pale human. So you see it happen very quick. Never a fan of those.
By the way, they couldn't do it because they're too big, but it would be awesome if Garth Brooks or George Strait were the national anthem singers.
That would be pretty cool.
But I guarantee that they probably did ask, and they're probably like, no, we're good.
Yeah, I could see it.
Yeah, from the 817, I love every time Mike tells that story. That is a good Mike story.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of them, but it's one of my favorites.
I'll be completely honest. My recall stinks, and so... My recall usually is triggered more by like when I hear something associated and it takes me to that place. And so I'm going to be more open than I even really want to be because I can't remember what a second one of my embarrassing stories was. But in middle school, and yes, I am saying middle school because Mike told his story. It reminded me of a time where one teacher was being an absolute jerk and I asked multiple times to go to the restroom and I was not allowed to. Now, what I should have done was just been like, bump that teacher. I am going. We can talk about forgiveness later, right? I was trying to be a good kid, sat down, and, you know, eventually the waterworks were unleashed.
Mm.
And so I had to.
How much did you cry?
Not in front of everybody else, but one of the coaches brought me some of my stuff from my locker, allowed me to get changed. And I believe when I was changing, I let some tears out. I was not happy about that. But had one of those happen in middle school. Like, that feels like something that it can happen in elementary school. Middle school feels like now we're talking about where this can mess up your reputation. Although, I do maintain, I felt better about it because it's not my fault, right? Like, it's not like I just couldn't control myself. I was under duress. This teacher would not let me go handle my business. But again, I should have just been like, nah. This has to happen. I got to get out of here.
I like the authority. I respect it. Let's see. From the 903, slipped on algae into the Riverwalk when I was around 10 on a family vacation.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that'll do it. I know that hurt, too.
Yeah, because the Riverwalk is, look, those are hard edges.
Yeah. That's, that's rough.
I'm an adult, so I shouldn't laugh as much at that as I did, but you know what? Too bad. 214, they said, Joe from Terrell, they said they farted themselves awake in class and everybody was looking at them. So first of all, you was already sleeping. You probably had some drool hanging down and then you farted yourself awake? Hilarious.
Man, the toughest thing to do for me was to stay awake after lunchtime at school.
Yeah, this class is cool, cold and now I'm fed. Like, this is time to get a nap in.
I think our bodies need to take a nap after lunch.
Yeah, it's funny how that happens in kindergarten. They're like, nap time. You're like, no! And then you get further and further along. You're like, actually, can we get that nap time? I would like a good 20 minutes if you don't mind. That'd be helpful.
Ooh, from the 214, first kiss in elementary school, the girl sneezed.
In your mouth?
Yeah.
Yikes.
He said he got a little bit of extras there.
Yikes.
That's gross. But we had a Blake moment here. Someone said they mispronounced a name, Ojeda, and they said the J sound. So we had a Blake Ojos Locos moment there. Shout out, Blake. I'll see you on Saturday, buddy. Long time. Yeah, there's a lot of great memories that are coming up. And I was remembering one because you mentioned the farting yourself awake. I didn't quite do that, but you know the standardized state tests you have to take in grade school?
Yes.
You know, at one point it was the tax test. Now it's the star test. I think it's still the star test.
Before the tax test, it was the TOS test.
Yeah, so I think this was when it was still the tax test when I took it. I remember I finished mine early. And so I was like, okay, nap time. And for some reason, they left the bells on. Like for each period, and they were supposed to turn them off, but they forgot. And the bell rang when I was asleep, and I jumped straight out of my seat while everybody was still testing. And everybody just busted out laughing. Even the teacher didn't try to be like, shh, like we got a test we got to take here. We can't break the rules. Like the teacher was even busting out laughing. I was not safe. Yeah, those are the worst.
I do find it interesting. Most everybody's that I'm seeing here on the Franklin Injury Attorney text line is grade school. Right. Like,
yeah.
Not a lot of like adult embarrassments necessarily that people are thinking back on, except for this one from the 214. And it involves someone in this room right now. The one time I met Mike Bassick, the first thing I told him was, I like your voice. I meant to say personality.
Oh, really?
Do you recall this at all? Somebody said they liked your voice, but they meant to say personality.
I've had people like get nervous. I've been nervous around people and said the wrong things too.
Absolutely.
And you're like, God, I probably sound really stupid to them. There have been times where people have said something like that to me. I won't say that I truly remember all of them.
Yeah.
But I get it. I have done that before too. I think that sometimes we mess up and we think, oh my gosh, and then you have to realize that we've all done that, whether it was at a Super Bowl meeting somebody for me or something like that, where we got nervous and the sentence did not come out the way we wanted it to come out.
Mike, you're going to like this story. I know you're a bit of a sneakerhead yourself, as am I, and you've probably seen the work somewhere on Instagram, Twitter, what have you, of Shoe Surgeon. He's one of the custom sneaker designers out there. There's plenty of really talented people that will alter popular shoes and either just post them for social media or resell them for a higher clip because of the custom work. And he is now being sued by Nike for $60 million for copyright infringement. And it was first reported by Sneaker Legal on Instagram. And Nike is claiming that he just totally ripped off the silhouette, because it's one thing to custom paint a shoe. And Nike has never really been mad at that. They're okay with that, because guess what? You still got to buy the shoe from them to make that happen. So they're getting their money. They don't really care. But he has put together actual classes that you can do online and get kits to essentially remake the shoe out of cheaper materials for a cheaper cost, which not a lot of designers are out there doing, but he has the following and the profit to be able to do that. But the detailed court documents have already been released, where you can see he pretty much stole the silhouettes of popular shoes such as the Air Force One, the Air Jordan One, the Jordan 3, and the Jordan 4. He is selling kits to where you can essentially make your own version of that shoe for a cheaper cost with different materials. So he essentially ripped off Nike. I can't defend him here. I love his work, but you can see it's one-to-one. The only thing he did was the Nike logos, where it'll say like Air Force One, it'll say like Surgeon One instead of that. Or like instead of Air Jordan 3, it'll say Surgeon 3.
Yeah,
whatever.
That wasn't going to save you, buddy. Was not going to save you.
So changing the logo is not gonna cover up everything.
What do you do when, I assume he doesn't have $60 million and he possibly loses this? Maybe he does. I don't know. But what do you do if you lose this? And let's just say the guy's worth $2 million, which is a lot of money. What do you do? You're not going to make $60 million in your life.
I don't actually, like, I'm not going to pretend to be a lawyer and like know exactly what happens here. I imagine they'll make, you might have to liquidate some assets and probably file for bankruptcy in order to try and navigate this. But
it
sounds like it definitely.
We talked about Nike earlier. They have a bunch of crappy people, it sounds like, running their company right now. Maybe they should just say, well, then you have to work for us.
And that's where I was going to go, is Nike did have a conversation with Complex and said that they're trying to resolve this outside of court.
Ooh.
And what they could do, and what people have done in the past. Big companies have said, hey, since you're making good products, well, let's just collaborate so you're not taking the money away from us. How about you just help us out and we settle this privately? And then we both gain something from it. You get to keep your popularity in your business. We get income out of it. Maybe we get a royalty out of it. Okay. Something. So I bet that's what's going to happen.
Okay.
But still, that's a big figure, like you said, for a guy that probably doesn't have that in the bank.
Okay. We
there
good?
You have it.
All right.
That's my time.
A little AM on the FM. There's so many people still texting in their embarrassing moments, including someone who said they tried to get some hand sanitizer and squirted it in their eye during the SAT. I imagine that wasn't fun. There's so many. As an adult, 214, as an adult, inhaled helium from a balloon. They said they thought that the more they inhaled, the squeakier their voice would be. They were wrong. Passed out. And on their way down, let's see. Oh, no. Oh, floor. To the floor, head caught a table. Okay, so this is also one of the dumbest ways you've injured yourself. Let's a little synergy on the day with the show.
Platter,
there you
look
go.
At that.
All right, there you go. Not till a combo platter isn't till, I don't know, tomorrow, Thursday, maybe. It's the KNC masterpiece, though, still. Right here on 105 Through the Fan. Reginald Atatula in for Kevin and Corey. Mike still here, along with Alec Medford. Coming up next, let's talk about some long shot picks for the 2024 NFL Awards. Could a Dallas Cowboys coach be involved here? We'll do that next on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece here on 105 Through the Fan. Reginald Atatula here with you alongside Mike Bassick Jr. Alec Medford on the ones and twos. Thank you, sir. And appreciate you guys rolling with us on this Tuesday afternoon. We're just a little bit closer to crosstalk with the G-Bag Nation where they'll get things going. But we were just talking in the break about some other things with the Home Run Derby. I didn't mention, like, it was announced as a sellout, right? 38,578 was the paid attendance for this. I know that during crosstalk with Sean and RJ, they were asking about kind of the empty pockets. But, I mean, it seems like at least when it comes to the sold, they sold all of the seats that I think you probably could. And I
think a lot of people just chose to be on the concourse. I will say the line, like if you're going the All-Star game tonight and you didn't go to the Home Run Derby, I thought about, because we got into the building at like 5:45 for the 7 o'clock start of the presentation and all this stuff.
Yep.
There were 200 people in line to get into the team shop where it was already, they couldn't allow any more people in it because it was totally packed. So there was a line, like as two people left, they'd let two people in. There's a line of 200 people in line to just get into the team shop. So if you're thinking about getting your All-Star gear at the game, I don't know how you're going to do it. Like maybe as soon as the gates open, you just run in there and try to get your All-Star gear then. But I can't. There's just no way for me. If you live here and you're listening, just go to the team shop tomorrow.
Yeah. And maybe a heady play. Medford, you were talking about maybe a possible value deal at the All-Star Village, right?
Yeah, they have, I believe, right on the concourse over there at Choctaw Stadium. I'm going to go right after the show ends. I'm going to be out there. If you're going to be making your way out there, come find me and say hi. But at the merch stand there, they do have all kinds of great stuff that's exclusive that you can only get there. But they're doing free custom stitching for any hat purchases there at Choctaw Stadium. So if you want to get your name or anything on the side of the hat, go for it.
Yeah, that was pretty cool to hear yesterday as well. So some little things that we got being on the ground at the Home Run Derby and just all-star weekend here in Arlington, to be specific. But right now, I do want to turn your attention to this. Obviously, we're getting ready for another NFL season, the 2024 season. And with it, you know, projecting forward, you know, you look at who you think could win the awards, right? MVP, coach of the year, offensive player of the year, things like that. And of course, there are easy answers, but if you are a betting man, which I know some folks are, like you want to get some value out of that. So Bucky Brooks, NFL Network, or NFL.com rather, put together his list of the best long shots for all of these awards. And so we can go with his list, but I kind of want to open this up. And I have the actual odds for all of these awards, and I kind of want to take this. I'm guessing outside of what the top three, I imagine when we talk about the odds, outside of the top three, you'd consider that long shots. Would that be fair, Mike?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
So I'm gonna give you the top three in each of these odds, and I want you to then pick outside of that who you think could win these awards. And we begin with obviously NFL MVP. clearly the top odds go to Patrick Mahomes, but outside of that, Josh Allen and Joe Burrow. Those are the top three odds players with the highest odds to win NFL MVP. Outside of those three, who would you go for as a long shot odds on pick to win the MVP next year?
After yesterday, where did Brock Purdy finish last year in MVP voting? And since he's not a top 10 quarterback in the NFL, according to NFL people, if they go 14-3 and get the number one seed and have the best record in the NFL, like, I don't know. And he puts up good. He had 30 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. I know I'm making that number up, but it was around that. It was really close to that. He might have been 31-9. So if this year he throws for 4,500 yards, 33 touchdowns and 8 interceptions, and he goes 14-3.
So he was fourth in the voting.
All right.
He was 31 touchdowns, 11 interceptions.
Okay. All right.
With two rushing touchdowns as well.
All right. I mean, I don't know. Usually when a team has the best record in the NFL, their quarterback gets a lot of love in the MVP voting.
And there was a little bit of splitting happening with Christian McCaffrey. I think that hurts him in some ways. But no, he's a long shot. He has plus 1,600 odds where I'm seeing it, tied with Dak Prescott and Jalen Hurts. So, I mean, that's a nice long shot odds pick if you would like it.
Okay, I'm going to take Dak Prescott in this case. I would not pick him.
Mm-hmm.
I think now, because he was so pathetic in his playoff game again,
yeah,
I don't think people will vote for him.
Right.
Like, they're just going to, like, I don't care. I'm not voting for him because all he is he takes advantage of average to bad teams. He never beats the good teams. He won't, like, nothing against him. He might end up having the best regular season, but I don't think people can vote for him anymore because they're like, as soon as I vote for him for MVP, he's going to throw two picks and just get blown out in the first round of the playoffs. So I will not. Like, I just don't think he can get any MVP votes anymore because of what they think he's going to do to the reputation of that MVP if he were to win it, and then what he's going to do in the playoffs.
And it is a regular season award, and I do think a lot of people view it as such, but I don't think that that's absolute. I think that there are still some people that have some consideration of, but what has he done in the playoffs? And I do wonder if that would hurt him. But
wouldn't you feel silly in a way if you voted for him and then he lost again in the playoffs and put up a game where he got blown out by the time it's the third quarter? You're like, he's had another horrible game. Like, how can I vote him an MVP when I know he's going to, or he keeps playing horrible when it becomes a do or die game?
I can see how someone would vote that way. I personally would just be like, regular season, this is what it was. I made my vote. That's what it is. But I can absolutely see how that would be something that you would feel kind of odd or feel silly, as you put it.
I mean, I think at this point you'd have to go 15-2 for Lamar Jackson to repeat his MVP because once again, he got to the playoffs. It wasn't super special. He almost made it, nothing against him, but he did not play his best football when it looked like it was going to matter most. So I would say that Lamar Jackson, I wouldn't really want to put money on him, even though he's the defending champ, because to be the defending MVP, I think you have to do something more spectacular than you did the year before. So I think it'd be very tough for him to repeat.
Yeah, there's some folks going with Lamar Jackson. I believe he has the fifth best odds. Some people going with Aaron Rodgers. Interesting. So Jared Goff is the name that Bucky Brooks went with at a plus 2,200. That's a good team. They've played really well. They went to the NFC Championship game, and I don't see any reason why they would take a step back necessarily. So I can see that one. All right, let's bounce around a little bit. Offensive player of the year.
It's usually a running back or wide receiver.
Right. The best odds, the top three when it comes to odds, Christian McCaffrey, Tyreek Hill, Justin Jefferson. Makes sense. So we'll take them off the board. Outside of them, is there a particular player that you like as a long shot to win Offensive Player of the Year?
I'm a huge fan of Ja'Marr Chase.
Mm.
I don't know where he's at.
And he's fourth. So that, I mean, okay, not even all that right long, but I mean, still, like, he's fourth in odds. He's right in that space. And with the game that we set up, that would be a fair look. The one that Bucky Brooks goes with here is Saquon Barkley, who is a plus 1,800. And it makes sense because, I mean, this is a guy who is really talented. He's moving to a team in Philadelphia that's probably better situated with a good offensive line to actually give him some help than he had in New York. And so I find that to be an interesting pick. Obviously, it seems like a good one. This is where I'm skipping around to Coach of the Year, because I found this to be very interesting. So when it comes to Coach of the Year, your top five or your top three in this. Interestingly enough, I would not have gone here. Matt Eberflus has the best odds, the coach of the Chicago Bears at plus 900. Jim Harbaugh, the new coach of the Chargers, at a plus 1,000. And then Raheem Morris, the new coach of the Falcons, at a plus 1,000. I know coach of the year ends up being, what was our expectations and will you overcome that?
And then they usually get fired a year or two later.
Sure, exactly. Outside of that, who would you look at as a potential long shot outside of Eberflus, Harbaugh, and Morris to win coach of the year?
Who's the coach at Washington, our former defensive coordinator?
Dan Quinn?
Yeah. How about that?
And that's interestingly enough, he doesn't show up on the odds that I have here, the board that I have here.
What if they make the playoffs?
I mean, I think that they would start to get
quarterback.
They'd start to get some love because, I mean, they definitely
would probably have the rookie of the year, to be honest. Jaden Daniels would win rookie of the year.
Sure. Not a great offensive line, depending on how you feel about that. Yeah, no, he would definitely get some love there. The name that Bucky Brooks came up with was Mike McCarthy of your Dallas Cowboys.
Buy into us.
I think he's done a good job here. I don't think the voters will not give him any respect.
Yeah, I don't know what he would have to do. Because, again, this is, and we talk about it, expectations largely dictate the way that Coach of the Year goes. This is a team that's won 12 games in the last three seasons. Like, what does it have to look like, or what does it have to be, in your mind, for Mike McCarthy to win this award, or at least just like show you something that makes you go, oh man, he's doing a fantastic coaching job above what he's done these previous seasons?
I don't know, because you start running into this. You can't win all the awards, because if you have a great defense and Micah Parsons wins defensive player of the year, I don't even know if they give out defensive coordinator of the year, but I think they give out like assistant coach of the year. Then all of a sudden, Zim might start getting some love, and you're like, all right, so we're going to give Micah Parsons defensive player of the year. We're going to give Mike McCarthy also coach of the year. It just starts getting where voters don't want to vote for the same team for everything. So I think that's where you run into, like, usually your team can get one award, maybe two, in these individual categories. So would Mike McCarthy, if the Cowboys have a great year, would he be the one that gets the credit from the voters? Or would it be Dak Prescott? Or would it be CeeDee Lamb for offensive player of the year? Or would it be Micah Parsons for defensive player of the year? So I think it becomes very tough in that.
Yeah, and I think, again, it would be another year where you look around and you go, we can attribute those benefits, whether if it's defense, it'll be Micah or Zimmer, right? If it's offense, it'll probably be, especially when you look at the lack of running game, it'll probably be like, hey, the passing game was really good, which will go to Dak Prescott. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think also he's being set up to fail. And
it
so
does feel like
I don't
that.
Think that the voters, if he ends up winning 11 games this year, I don't think they'll vote for him going, wow, the Joneses set him up to fail so they could get a new coach. Yeah. I don't think they're going to like say, man, can you believe it? I just don't think that'll be part of the storyline that the NFL will promote.
And yeah, I mean, maybe if he manages to squeeze blood out of a rock when it comes to like finding a running game, maybe then you go, oh, okay, well, good for you. Like maybe that's what does it. I don't know. But yeah, I found that to be interesting. The some of the long shots that Bucky Brooks of NFL.com had for the NFL awards for the 2024 season. Still a long way to go before we get to that point. We're looking forward to training camp starting in, I mean, heck, probably about in 10 days, man. We're getting close.
The red carpet is happening right now, and the wives are dressed up, or girlfriends dressed up.
Shout out to Mrs. Met.
Beautifully. It's always weird to me because now the players are going to go into right now the clubhouse and obviously start changing into shorts and a t-shirt or whatever. But I guess the women, they have to get dressed up like one of the biggest events they've ever been to in their life. But they're not going to go to the game that way. So now they're going to go back to the Lowe's hotel and then change into like, you know, jeans and a top or whatever like that. It's just, it's always interesting to me on how they're dressing. And then they're like, all right, I've walked the red carpet. We've done all the pictures and the interviews. And now I'm going to go back to the hotel and get into my going to the baseball stadium gear.
What are you wearing on the red carpet, Mike?
I am going to be wearing some Under Armour golf shorts today. And probably a polo that has a Ranger logo on.
Okay, all right.
That will probably be what I'm wearing tonight.
I think that'll work. I think that'll go. As the All-Star Game festivities already getting going at Globe Life Field, we got a big-time game happening tonight, and you can hear that No other place than your home of the Texas Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. It's KNC Masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's our time to crosstalk with the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. KNC Masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan. Reginald Atatula in for Kevin and Corey alongside Mike Bassick and Alec Medford. Thanks for rolling with us all day long. As we always are wont to do, it's time to hand it off to the G-Bag Nation. So courtesy of D&M Leasing, let's talk to the fellas. Gentlemen, how are you? How is you today? I didn't want to say it, but I had to say it.
Oh, awesome, yeah. Reg. How are you?
I was doing better before I said, how is you
today? My favorite part of G-Bag Nation yesterday is when I was driving home from work and you guys got the news that your show was going to 7 o'clock.
Getting an extra hour of broadcast.
From my perspective, that was very funny.
Yeah. I'm sure it was. For us, just kind of like, oh, crap. All right. Well, but today we do get the 6 o'clock.
We had that silver lining that, hey, the 6 o'clock clock out will be tomorrow. And now tomorrow is today. So we're doing fantastic.
Excellent. I'm glad to hear it. What was your impression from the home front on, you know, the home run derby and the ways that it went? Because it seemed like we were all in the stadium. We enjoyed it quite a bit. Sean and RJ, it was generally a thumbs down from their perspective. What about you guys? How did you feel watching it on TV?
Well, I'm not the biggest home run derby fan. We had Casey Stern on at 4 o'clock, and he was like my home run derby spirit animal. He was like, it's 3.5 hours of balls, you know, going on. And after the first 10
balls
or so, and
he wasn't even being hyperbolic either. I mean, that was forever last night.
Yeah, I was thinking about him as we get into the semifinal. I'm like, you know what? Casey was right. This thing drags quite a bit. Yeah. I think what we need to do is just, we need to have a smaller field. That might help. I like what they've done with the rule changes.
Shrinkflation
but
to the derby?
Man, maybe. I mean, you watch 8 players go up there and 40 pitchers are thrown to each one, and now we've got another round, and now we've got, and you got the possibility of the swing-offs, which are a lot of fun. But like, I thought the first round was great. I thought Dolley, he seemed like he got into a nice groove there.
Adelise?
Yeah, I was like, okay. Adelise, yeah.
You're so proud of yourself for that.
Dolley's got a shot. But he just
the smug look actually, on your face right now.
It woke me up on my drive home last night when I was fall asleep listening to the
ESPN
first
broadcast.
Few minutes of it, and then they said Adelise, and I was like, oh my gosh,
what?
Okay, what is happening?
Is there
here?
A new player competing in this? But Dolley just, there wasn't the sense of urgency there for him, man.
Yeah, that was unfortunate.
I think it would have been better if he stays alive, right? We're locked in. It's exciting.
Yeah.
It's like watching the Knicks play basketball in the late 90s. The New York fans loved it.
Brought us. I found this out about our Metroplex. And maybe I
heard you talk about that.
We do not care at all that people are from here.
We do not care
that Von Miller's from DeSoto. We do not care that Miles Garrett's from Arlington Martin. We do not care that Bobby Witt Jr. is a superstar.
Yep.
Maybe the greatest high school baseball player in the last 10 years from Colleyville Heritage. We do not care.
Yeah.
We do not care about locals. We don't care about Tyrese Maxey. We do not care. It's amazing to me. I think we should. And other Philadelphia, you've been there. Philadelphians care about, even if a Philadelphian's drafted by, besides the Cowboys probably, or a few other teams, they care about their own and they cheer for their city if they're from that city. I found out we don't care about it at all.
Yeah, we needed the Nathan prop-up man, Nathan Hot Dog prop-up man out there. That guy was trying to get everybody.
He was trying
involved.
His best to be like, do you understand? He's from here. Yeah. He grew up a Ranger fan. His dad was a Ranger for a decade. It's like, we don't care.
I think it was interesting you said that the people were texting in, though, that's the transient city, that we've become Atlanta.
It's possible.
Where all of a sudden we're not really all from here. But I was sitting there last night, and once Garcia was out, then immediately even before Garcia, that he got added, I was like, okay, well, I'm going to pull for Witt.
Yeah.
And then Garcia was added, and then I'm like, okay, well, here I'm going to pull for Garcia. And then when he got bounced, I'm like, okay, now I'm pulling for Witt. But I don't think anybody else was buying in. I don't know.
I think on top of that, there's just so many players in a variety of sports that I think you kind of throw your hands up. It's interesting, though, the Metroplex rallied around Jordan Spieth. I feel like there was, you know, synergy going with the Errol Spence run.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe a couple of other players, Mike. I totally agree with you. You know, like growing up.
Might be individual sports.
I just wonder how tough it is to judge at these sporting events. Because even like the World Series and the Rangers playoff runs at times, I feel like maybe some people get priced out. So you just don't, well, you don't have like real true sports fans that are going to these.
I was a kid. I was 8 years old when the dunk competition was here in 86.
I was there.
I had no clue that Spud Webb, I had no clue who he was. But then that the crowd went nuts because, and then he was from Wilmer Hutchins. Do I have that right? I might be wrong about his.
He is from the area though.
But yeah, he's from Dallas. I thought that's where he went to high school. Maybe I'm wrong, but now he was 5'6". So maybe it was just rooting for the little guy. Maybe in the '80s it was different, rooting for kids that had become professional athletes.
And you're spot on in his high school.
But at this point, last night, I realized as I was trying to get Bobby Chance going in my section, as I was standing up for him, cheering for him, I realized that literally we do not care that people are from here and then become successful.
I saw a lot of other team jerseys walking around that ballpark last night. You know, so I mean, not everybody, but yeah, it was pretty clear. But it was surprising that the fan base or the folks in the stadium that are from here didn't really get into it.
That's a bummer.
As well as they should have with Witt once that their hometown guy was eliminated.
His dad was a solid pitcher here. Yeah. I wonder this, and I'm going to – I don't know if one of Michael Young's boys is going to make the major leagues or not. I mean, the likelihood is probably not. But would we care if Michael Young's son was hitting in the home run derby?
Yes.
Probably. I don't think we would. I honestly do not think we would care.
I think Michael Young might be the outlier.
Okay. Adrian Beltre's son is in the home run derby 20 Ooh. Years from. I mean, I guess we're never going to have it. That's the thing is we're not going to have it for another 20 or 25 years, and his son would probably be done playing. He's going to be a freshman at University of Washington here this upcoming school year. But like, I just figured out, I just don't think we would care about any son of a Ranger unless they're in a Ranger uniform. If they're in a Ranger uniform. Yeah. Yes, but I think if they're in another uniform, we do not care.
It just hit my brain that you said Adrian Beltre's son is in college now.
Yeah, he'll be a freshman. God, I think Washington is where he's going to play.
Reggie, I was worried last night that maybe that last swing that Witt took, that one of those kids was going to try and make a play at the wall.
I think they learned. I did like having the kids on the field.
There was one kid out there.
Yeah, that was trying to rob some homers at
there
time.
There was one kid that was dominant out there.
Yeah, he was.
And there was a bunch of other kids, looked like me, trying to field balls.
How about when the high school kids with the metal bats hit? Now, that wasn't on television. Can you imagine? That's the thing is, you'd probably kill a fan.
Yeah.
But did you see how far they were hitting the ball and their high school kids with metal bats?
Yeah. We talked about that. Like, what are some fun ways to maybe change this? And maybe if you go to, like, the swing-offs, like, that's when we go ahead and put the metal bat in there. I don't know. It would be a blast to see a big leaguer.
How far
smash.
Were they, Mike?
They were further than Gunnar Henderson.
Yeah.
Wow.
And Gunnar Henderson's 22 years old, superpower. So you would be seeing, I think you could see them go into the upper deck in right field. I think you could see 600-foot home runs. The problem is I think your exit velocity on an adult major leaguer, superpower, I think you might get up to 140 miles on exit velocity.
I mean, we saw the videos of like Matt Holliday hitting with his boys, and he took a metal bat, and it looked like he literally launched it into orbit.
Ozuna hit one that was pretty massive.
Dude, it was like 470 something, but I think you could see Aaron Judge hit 600 feet.
Well, the balls are juiced, right? For the Derby?
Whose balls are juiced?
Okay, I'm glad that you specified there.
I thought the Derby balls were always juiced.
I think they tried to use the most juiced balls they can make. I think.
They should.
I appreciated them for the effort. It was fun seeing and hearing some of those balls off the bat. That was another thing that was fun in the arena.
If I had to do something, an improvement to the thing, I would beef up the sound of the bat hitting the ball.
Yeah,
I would make it even louder. Like, you know, we go to NBA games and they hit the rim.
Oh my gosh. I
want to hear like a crack, like the real crack, and it takes off.
I think I would get it down to 6 to start the competition off. Yeah. That would at least take out 2 rounds.
Yeah, it's 80 pitches, right? Yeah, I think that would work. You got to do something to speed this up.
Yeah.
What do you guys got coming up on the program?
Pure Gold, as always. Reg, thanks for asking, including some NFL breaking news from this afternoon right out of the gate.
Yeah.
To talk about the big trade demand.
Yeah, we got to get to you guys talking about some football and obviously reacting to yesterday, getting everybody ready for the All-Star game that's happening at Globe Life Field later. Until tomorrow, y'all be easy. You've been masterpieced.
Again, you guys got the news that your show was going to 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
Always love getting an extra hour of broadcast.
From my perspective, that was very funny.
Yeah. I'm sure it was. For us, it was kind of like, oh, crap. All right. Well, but today we do get the 6 o'clock.
We had that silver lining that, hey, the 6 o'clock clock out will be tomorrow. And now tomorrow is today. So we're doing fantastic.
Excellent. I'm glad to hear it. What was your impression from the home front on, you know, the home run derby and the ways that it went? Because it seemed like we were all in the stadium. We enjoyed it quite a bit. Sean and RJ, it was generally a thumbs down from their perspective. What about you guys? How did you feel watching it on TV?
Well, I'm not the biggest home run derby fan. We had sure. Casey Stern on at 4 o'clock, and yeah. He was like my home run derby spirit animal. He was like, it's 3.5 hours of balls, you know, going on. And after the first 10 or so. And
he wasn't even being hyperbolic. I mean, that was forever last night.
Yeah, I was thinking about him as we get into the semifinal. I'm like, you know what? Casey was right. This thing drags quite a bit. Yeah. I think what we need to do is just, we need to have a smaller field. That might help. I like what they've done with the rule changes.
Shrinkflation
but
to the derby?
Man, maybe. I mean, you watch 8 players go up there and 40 pitches are thrown to each one. And now we've got another round. And now we've got, and you got the possibility of the swing offs, which are a lot of fun. But like, I thought the first round was great. I thought Dolley, he seemed like he got into a nice groove there.
Adelise?
Yeah. I was like, okay. Adelise, yeah.
You're so proud of yourself for that.
Dolley's got a shot. But he just
the smug look on your face right now.
It woke me up on my drive home last night when I was fall asleep listening to the ESPN first broadcast. Few minutes of it. And then they said Adelise. And I was like, oh, my gosh.
What?
Okay. What is happening?
Is there
here?
A new player competing in this? But Dolley just, there wasn't the sense of urgency there for him, man.
Yeah. That was,
I think it would have been better if he stays alive, right? We're locked in. It's exciting.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
like watching yeah. the Knicks play basketball hey. In the late 90s. The New York fans loved it.
Brought us. I found this out about our Metroplex. And maybe I
heard you.
About
I heard you talk about
we,
that.
We do not care at all that people are from here.
I totally agree.
We do not
agree.
Care that Von Miller's from DeSoto.
Totally
we
agree.
Do not care that yeah. Miles Garrett's from Arlington Martin. We do yeah. not care that Bobby Witt Jr. is a superstar.
Yep.
Maybe the greatest high school baseball player in the last 10 years yeah. from Colleyville Heritage. We do not care.
Yeah,
we do not care about locals. We don't care about Tyrese Maxey. We do not care. It's amazing to me. I think we should. And other Philadelphia, you've been there. Philadelphians yeah. care about, even if a Philadelphian's drafted by, besides the Cowboys probably, mm. or a few other teams, they care about their own and they cheer for yeah. their city if they're from that city. I found out we don't care about it at all.
Yeah, we needed the Nathan prop-up man, Nathan Hot Dog prop-up man out there. He was, that guy was trying to get everybody.
He was trying
involved.
His best to be trying, like, do you yeah. understand? He's from here. Yeah. He grew up a Ranger fan. His dad was a Ranger for a decade. It's yeah. like, we don't care.
I think it was interesting you said that the people were texting in, though, that's the transient city, that we've become Atlanta.
It's
where,
possible.
Where all of a sudden we're not really all from here. But I totally, yeah. I was sitting
that's
there
a good point,
I was sitting there last night, and once Garcia was out, then immediately even before Garcia, that he got added, I was like, okay, well, I'm going to pull for Witt.
Yeah.
And then Garcia was added, and then I'm like, okay, well, here I'm going to pull for Garcia. And then when he got bounced, I'm like, okay, now I'm pulling for Witt. But I don't think anybody else was buying in. I don't.
I think on top of that, there's just so many players in a variety of sports that I think you kind of throw your hands up. It's interesting, though, the Metroplex rallied around Jordan Spieth. I feel like there was, you know, synergy going with the Errol Spence run.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe a couple of other players, Mike. I totally agree with you. You know, like growing up.
Might be individual sports.
I just wonder how tough it is to judge at these sporting events. Because even like the World Series and the Rangers playoff runs at times, I feel like maybe some people get priced out. So you just don't have like real true sports fans that are going to these.
I was a kid. I was 8 years old when the dunk competition was here in 86.
I was there.
I had no clue that Spud Webb, I had no clue who he was.
Hmm.
But then the crowd went nuts because, and then he was from Wilmer Hutchins. Do I have that right? I might be wrong about his.
He is from the area though.
But yeah, he's from Dallas. I thought that's where he went to high school. Maybe I'm wrong, but now he was 5'6". So maybe it was just rooting for the little guy. Maybe in the '80s it was different, rooting for kids that had become professional athletes.
And you're spot on his high school.
But, at this point, last night, I realized as I was trying to get Bobby Chance going in my section, as I was standing up for him, cheering for him, I realized that literally we do not care that people are from here and then become successful.
I saw a lot of other team jerseys walking around that ballpark last night. You know, so I mean, not everybody, but yeah, it was pretty clear. But it was surprising that the fan base or the folks in the stadium that are from here didn't really get into it.
That's a bummer.
As well as they should have with Witt once that their hometown guy
was
eliminated.
His dad was a solid pitcher here. Yeah. I wonder this, and I'm going to I don't know if one of Michael Young's boys is going to make the major leagues or not. I mean, the likelihood is probably not. But would we care if Michael Young's son was hitting in the home run derby?
Yes.
Probably. I don't think we would. I honestly do not think we would care.
I think Michael Young might be the outlier.
Okay. Adrian Beltre's son is in the home run derby 20 years from. I mean, I guess we're never going to have it. That's the thing is, we're not going to have it for another 20 or 25 years, and his son would probably be done playing. He's going to be a freshman at University of Washington here this upcoming school year. But, like, I just figured out, I just don't think we would care about any son of a Ranger unless they're in a Ranger uniform. If they're in a Ranger uniform, yes. But I think if they're in another uniform, we do not care.
It just hit my brain that you said Adrian Beltre's son is in college now.
Yeah, he'll be a freshman. I think Washington is where he's going to play.
Reggie, I was worried last night that maybe that last swing that Witt took, that one of those kids was going to try and make a play at the wall.
I think they learned. I did like having the kids on the field.
There was one kid out there.
Yeah, that was trying to rob some homers at times.
There was one kid that was dominant out there.
Yeah, he was.
And there was a bunch of other kids, looked like me, trying to field balls.
How about when the high school kids with the metal bats hit? Now, that wasn't on television. Can you imagine? That's the thing is, you'd probably kill a fan.
Yeah.
But did you see how far they were hitting the ball in their high school kids with metal bats?
Yeah. We talked about that. Like, what are some fun ways to maybe change this? And maybe if you go to, like, the swing-offs, like, that's when we go ahead and put the metal bat in there. I don't know. It would be a blast to see a big leaguer.
How far
smash.
Were they, Mike?
They were further than Gunnar Henderson.
Yeah.
Wow.
And Gunnar Henderson's 22 years old, superpower. So you would be seeing... I think you could see them go into the upper deck in right field. I think you could see 600-foot home runs. The problem is I think your exit velocity on an adult major leaguer superpower, I think you might get up to 140 miles on exit velocity.
I mean, we saw the videos of like Matt Holliday hitting with his boys, and he took a metal bat, and it looked like he literally launched it into orbit.
Ozuna hit one that was... pretty massive.
Dude, it was like 470 something, but yeah. I think you could see Aaron Judge hit 600 feet.
Well, the balls are juiced, right? For the Derby?
Whose balls are juiced?
Okay, I'm glad that you specified there.
I thought the Derby balls were always juiced.
I think they try to use the most juiced balls they can make.
They should.
I appreciated them for the effort. It was fun seeing and hearing some of those balls off the bat. That was another thing that was fun in the area.
If I had to do something, an improvement to the thing, I would beef up the sound of the bat hitting the ball.
Yeah.
I would make it even louder. Like, you know, we go to NBA games and they hit the rim.
Oh my gosh. I want to hear a crack, like the real crack.
Yeah. You know, and it takes off.
I think I would get it down to six to start the competition off. Yeah. That would at least take out two rounds.
Yeah, it's 80 pitches, right? Yeah, I think that would work. You got to do something to speed this up.
Yeah.
What do you guys got coming up on the program?
Pure Gold, as always, Reg, thanks for asking, including some NFL breaking news from this afternoon right out of the gate to talk about the big trade demand.
Yeah, we got to get to you guys talking about some football and obviously reacting to yesterday, getting everybody ready for the All-Star game that's happening at Globe Life Field later. Until tomorrow, y'all be easy. You've been masterpieced.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.